Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, is it time? Yes? Hello! The internet. I'm not exactly sure where you're located, but from what I understand, people are listening, and that is a good thing. Welcome to the show. It's Footy Prime, the podcast. Yes, everyone's looking taut and slightly sweaty, I see, Mr. Craig. Have you been for a run? You may need to sit down. That's fine, you can sit over near Uncle Nigel. So, when I was a boy, my father would take me hunting in the countryside. He'd leave me there and never come back. I always found my way home, but there was a time when I was attacked by a fleet of badgers. I managed to escape by rolling down the moors and into a small body of water, which I later found out was sewage. But I tell you, from that day forward, I am able to use any public restroom. So, Danny, Craig, Jimmy boy, I like your boots. Perhaps you should leave them up beside my bed. Let's get this party started. Oh, and Dan, another sherry?
Nigel Nigelson, once again, thank you, Nigel. We do appreciate it. I've got tears rolling down my cheeks right now. Just from the term, a fleet of badgers. Is that what it is? Is it a fleet of badgers? Is that the plural? Yeah. It is.
I believe in the late Knockety 18 Dickety, we would see fleets of many animals. There was the once prevalent dodo bird. There was many tyrannosauri and whatnot. Fleet, I believe, is correct.
I'll take your word for it. What's the plural for footballers?
Bunch.
A bunch of footballers.
Harem of sexy.
Please take that bottle of sherry away from Nigel as well, Dan.
I can't control him. I don't want to go near the old perv.
I think we're all losing our minds as this pandemic continues, but thankfully Nigel Nigelson has made it a lighter affair as time has gone on. So thank you, Nigel. Hopefully hear from you later on today. Fleet of badgers. A bunch of footballers. I'm trying to think of other plural things that need an answer. Remember that Inspector Morse? Remember Inspector Morse? Great show, right? And they're at a murder scene, and the coroner came, the coroner came. They said, what's like the plural for a coroner? And they're joking, I think it's a body of coroners. And they're all laughing. And then, meanwhile, the victim's family had just walked into the house. It was funny. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, man, that's a good show. That was Inspector Morse.
It was a good show, yeah, back in the day. Not better than Only Fools and Horses.
Well, no. We thought about calling this podcast Only Fools and Footballers. On football, right? Didn't we? Once upon a time.
Yeah, something Only Fools and...
Only Fools and Football, wasn't it?
Only Fools, yeah. And I don't know.
I don't know what it was. Who cares?
Got binned.
Got binned, yeah. Yeah, Footy Prime is born, and the rest is the same as history. As is Craig's place in history, more and more, as weeks go on, and each Southampton game progresses and comes past, Craig's infamy just dissolves more into a distant past. 9-0 happens again, Craig. It must piss you off a little bit, right? It's twice now in like just over a year.
What they don't.
That like it used to be just you. You were the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Now there's three of you.
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, you want him to hit 10. I really, do I? Then I'll really be forgotten.
What's the name for the group of those guys that we're talking about?
Losers. A loser of three. A loser of goalkeepers.
There's three of us.
It's not a pool of,
as I said,
shit keepers.
It's so hard to get into that club. Fuck off, Deej.
With those 10, I mean, at 9, are you thinking, Dad, just make it one more? A nice round 10, aren't you? Wouldn't you?
I thought it was in my game.
Well, you saved the penalty. It would have been, right?
He saved the penny, and he actually had like 4 unbelievable stops.
He could have been 14.
Like 12 that day.
No, I think the penalty save was in the 7-1 game.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, no, they scored a penny in that game, actually, in the 9-0. That's right.
Sharm sent out an article.
Oh, yeah, they
did. You guys read the article?
Yeah, it was the Daily Mail, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a picture in that article with Craig hanging from the crossbar. And Craig, what were you trying to do?
Break it.
Why? Why break it?
I couldn't take any more, Dan.
It was a great picture, though, eh? Like a great, like horizontal, hanging with one arm on the bar. It's like, that guy was pretty strong.
We got to get it up. Get it up. Can you get it up on the Twitter page?
Yeah, we can steal it.
Instead of putting my modeling ones up there.
Yeah. Well, those get some clicks, too.
Yes.
Your clickbait, Dickio. Dickio.
What are the odds, though, eh? The same team within, you know, was it 14 months or something? To lose 9-0 twice. I mean, I guess Hassel was good post-match. He goes, listen, you know, it's a horrible result, obviously, but we've got through this before. Why not again?
Yeah.
Well, can they? Is it worse or is it better?
He actually says this one was worse. But I can't see that, Craig, because, first of all, you're not at home in front of your own fans.
Yeah.
Because it was fans in the stadium for their last 9-0. Was that against Leicester?
Leicester.
Yeah. This is away at Manchester United. And again, it could have been 10 or 11. I mean, they had a strong case for a penalty, Cavani and stuff like that. They had a goal disallowed. But I just want to know what you'd be able to tell us, Craig, what goes through the players' minds when they're in the change room, in the locker room afterwards? Is it silent? Is it like...
Yeah. Well, you imagine sometimes when you lose a heartbreaking game and with that slake, you know, everybody's just sitting around, you put in a ton of effort and quite a shift, and your goalkeeper's fucked up. Well, not necessarily, but you know, the team, you know, you can imagine it's just, yeah, it's...
And Southampton have been like one of the bright spots this year. They've played well. I really like Hasenhüttl. Yeah. It's interesting as well. Someone said, I think it was actually in the Daily Mail quote, saying that since he kneeled down and cried in front of Klopp, that kind of charade that he did after his first win over Klopp, they have yet to win a game.
So he's lost the room because he's a big wimp, big girl's blouse, as they say.
Maybe he knew it was coming. Maybe he knew it was coming.
Maybe, yeah.
He was crying because he's like, I'm going to get done 9.
Right, it's coming, yeah. Maybe he's a clairvoyant. He can look in the future.
Yeah, he had the crystal ball out and was like,
this is nice, no, but oh God, 9-0 again.
Exactly. McCarthy was on the bench.
Yeah.
For the last one.
Yes.
It was actually Angus was it, Gunn.
Was it Gunn?
Yeah.
Brian Gunn's kid, huh?
That's right.
That's right.
So McCarthy witnessed... Tell me that as a goalkeeper, when you're seeing...
Well, you know
the
exactly
first choice goalkeeper.
Thinking, right?
Seeing balls going
thinking,
in against...
I'm in next game?
You're thinking you got a shot. And even though you have a good relationship with that goalie, you don't want to see him get... But you're thinking maybe not so much that what's going on with him at the moment, just that you're so glad that you're on the bench that day.
Yeah. Who's the second choice keeper at Ipswich when you got dinged for 9? Can you remember?
I don't remember.
That was before they had backup goalkeepers.
Yeah, but you would always travel with 2.
Not being serious.
No, you didn't have a goalkeeper on the bench, for sure.
On the bench, no. Back in AD, what year was that?
I think you only had like 2 or 3.
In 95.
95, that's right, 95. I can't. I was doing you a favor there, Craig. Jesus.
Well, I know.
I always forget that you stayed there so long in Ipswich. So, yeah, but when did backup goalkeepers come in? On the bench?
Maybe they were.
Well, you're allowed to put one of your 3 as a goalkeeper if you wanted.
That's right. There was only like 2 players, I think.
Because I was so close to being put on once. Right. We had used the 2 subs. I was the last one. Somebody was hurt.
That's right.
And I put the jersey on. I was going to go play up front. And I was like so excited.
Yeah.
I'd have 10 minutes.
That happened a lot more than people think.
I didn't need to score. Just, I just wanted to like play out.
That happened a lot more. And that's why I think they brought in the rule of having more subs available to choose from.
Well, you brought everybody anyway as well, right? There's, you know, and as a coach, you always got that. Who was it said, like Monday morning, you're basically hiring everybody. Everybody's available and has a chance to work on Saturday. And then on Friday, you fire a bunch, or Saturday when you announce the team,
you got to do the job.
And then you got to try to get them all back on Monday. and back on your side, right?
Yeah, it's true. Like you used to travel with a large squad, but you could only have two players and a goalkeeper on the bench. I remember one of my first games that I traveled with the first team with QPR, and I wasn't involved, but we were sat behind the bench, and it's not a bench at Man United. It's still the same as it is now, where you walk up the steps. It's not a bench that's low on the ground.
Yeah, it hasn't changed for years.
I just got my mobile phone, my cell phone, and I forgot to turn it off. And my Mrs. Claire, she called me when I was literally on the bench behind her. So it's going, and I'm going, oh shit, I think that's my new cell phone. So I'm like a 17, 18 year old on the bench at Old Trafford going like this, and I'm sinking in the bench going, and people were looking around. And so in the end, I got up and went, whose phone is that? And luckily it went off.
Looking behind you.
Yeah, so I'm like trying to stumble in my pocket to turn my phone off. I'm going, oh my God. And I hammered my missus after. She went, well, why you got your phone on the bench? I went, how come you don't know I'm on the bench?
That's what I was going to ask you the question, right?
She went, I don't know about football.
A lesser half is going to Old Trafford to play a football match. And she's calling you. That's such a wife thing to do, isn't it?
Of course it is.
How do you not know about the bench?
You have no idea.
I said, what are you calling me about? She said, I was calling you. I got a parking ticket outside your mum's house. I'm like, I'm at Old Trafford. You think I give a flying about?
I'm on the bench.
Yeah.
So Claire still to this day doesn't really like football, right?
No.
Doesn't
Claire
watch
doesn't,
it.
Claire doesn't know what he does. He doesn't know.
She thinks I'm an airline pilot.
That's right.
That's amazing.
So, we'd like to thank everyone for flying with us today.
Yes. If everyone could put their seatbelts on, please.
I think the best wives don't really give a crap, though, what their better half's doing. Do they, really? I mean, you don't want... You go home and they're talking football to you all the time. And I saw you do this, you do this wrong. Why are we playing 4-3-3? Why 4-2-3-1? You don't want that.
There's that too, yeah.
What about your the former Mrs. Well, not Forrest, but close enough.
No, she was great.
Was like, she wasn't a fan per se, though. Was she?
No, but I mean, she would watch football for sure.
Yeah.
She would watch it.
Yeah. How close were you to doing a Patrick Roy? Like, I know no one's quit like Patrick Roy did with his when he got pulled and he goes, that's my last fucking game as a Montreal Canadian goalie.
Yeah. Well, when he actually came off the ice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell me the story. I don't know the story. So Patrick Roy was a goalie. I know the name.
So Patrick Roy was a goalie for the Habs. So
the best goalie at the time, the best goalie in the world.
And I think he was losing 6-0. And defense was playing horribly, just felt like the same as Craig did when got 9 goals on him. Probably the same, right? Craig, you feel down and angry.
so, you said that in such a salt like.
Yeah,
you know,
thank
like,
you. I stare into your eyes.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
They pull him, and as they're pulling him, he comes out to the bench and he goes to the owner and the head coach and says, I'm never playing another game for this team again, because they let him in. And he felt humiliated that they didn't pull him earlier because it was the first or second period. So I always think, anything like that ever happen? How close were you to feeling that? Like, can you just walk off? Could you go, fuck this?
No.
All right. Were you close? Did you feel close to
him? No, it's just, you know, it's an interesting one because it is in our sport. We don't pull a goalie in that case. But if you think about it, if you have a goalie that's available to you, Well, I mean, it would be something to consider. It's just never considered.
But it counts
football.
As a sub, though, right? And there's so few subs. That's the problem.
Well,
in football,
if you're down
right?
7-0 at that point, you think a sub.
Yeah, probably not. But what would a goal change make, though? What's the reason? How would it make a difference?
Well, it's just the humiliation of getting done.
Psychological, you've lost that goalkeeper. Psychologically,
he's gone.
You've lost him.
Because
you bring
not,
him off.
Because
yeah.
It's not a norm.
It's not. It's like if you're losing 7-0, unless he's thrown in six of the goals, which is not happening. And like this guy's case, Patrick Waugh, is that right?
Patrick Waugh.
He's probably been left hung out to dry and getting pucks
well,
stinged.
But that's
in.
The nature. The nature of the
Cups,
yeah,
right?
With the avalanche
is that you're not going to let the goalie have six against you before you pull him.
Yeah.
Four.
Mario Tremblay was the coach, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Who was the owner? Was that Gillette? Back in those days, was it before Gillette?
Yeah, it was before Gillette.
Was it
a French dude? But he either said to the general manager. But I remember pointing into the crowd and saying, "I'm never." We could find it. I'm never playing for this.
It's an iconic moment in hockey, right? I remember watching that game live actually, and no one quite knowing what was going on at the time.
And hockey players were starting to make money then.
Yeah,
real money.
Oh yeah, no, they were. Yeah, well, that's like 90. That was what 95.
Yeah, I think it was 95.
Around there, because 93, they won. That's with
right.
Demers as coach. So it was at least 95. Could have been later than 95, actually.
Could have been.
The only example I can think of in football, in soccer, where a goalkeeper was pulled was at the World Cup, I think it was, Craig. And Tim Krul came in for Holland, Netherlands. And was it Louis van Gaal?
Yeah, and Cillessen was the guy that came off.
It was extra time, and they knew the game was going to penalty kicks. So apparently Tim Krul was amazing at penalty kicks, and he's a bigger profile. Just mentally, the opposing team looking at a goalkeeper coming in already puts doubt in your mind as a penalty kick taker. And everyone, the critics were going, this is crazy. This has never, ever been heard of in football. Like, why is he doing this? And they end up winning the penalty kicks. And he looks like a genius.
This goalkeeper had like 2 or 3 inches, 4 inches on the other dude?
Yeah, he was a taller keeper.
But the thing is, Silza was not happy.
He was not happy at all.
Right. Well, it wasn't something that was lined up. It was a decision made late. I'd be devastated.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good enough to start. So I'm good enough to fucking start. And then you know what I mean? Like,
ballsy move by Van Gaal,
right?
I wouldn't go that far. Nothing's worse than that.
Well, it's a really risky thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you remember that post match? Do you remember the room? I mean, it's a long time ago now, but do you remember what it was like and that how you felt? Maybe the next training session. What was the?
You know what? The new way I thought. I thought our next game is Spurs and Klinsmann away.
He must have been sitting at home like this.
Well,
oh,
actually,
that is good. Dash. Yes.
Right there, Danny Diacchio.
German.
I was thinking
like this.
That's your stock German accent.
How I can possibly throw an injury in and miss that game.
In case you have missed it, I think it may be an episode 2 or 3 or 4 of this, well over a year ago now, and we did like almost an entire episode on that match, didn't we?
On the 9-0?
Yeah.
The Klinsmann match.
On the 9-0.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we? I think it's an entire show.
Yeah, we did.
Or close to it, right?
Yeah, because he also got interviewed, and we were like, oh, we're so happy
that's
that
right.
The podcast might get some press.
It didn't, though.
No, not at all.
No.
Craig forgot to... Craig forgets his biggest moment again is a 9-0 game with this team, and he forgets to put Footy Prime on it. He gets 500 likes, and fuck Craig Forrest.
I just didn't want to bring Footy Prime down with me, Dan.
Hey, thanks, brother.
You know what I mean?
We would have lost listeners and viewers. Yeah.
That ain't. That is probably not possible.
You know.
You can't bring us much lower.
It is true that in 25 years, McCarthy will be able to laugh about it.
Right. Yeah, right now you're just breaking up yourself. Look at him. Oh, yeah. No, you look devastated right now.
Still waiting for that. Still waiting for that crate from Budweiser, aren't you, Craig?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the messy thing, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
We should all get one. Brian.
Amsterdam's my.
No, we like real beer in this show.
Yes, yeah.
However, Budweiser, we can change allegiances pretty quickly for the right dollar for the right dollar figure. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
Alex Yankovic debut for Southampton. This kid, his debut. right? You can imagine his family's all gathered around the TV. They would be in the stadium normally, of course. Big moment, right? The one you look forward to from your kid and playing in the street with your mates. One day I'm going to play in the Premier League. He gets the call. Oh, thanks, Gaff. 90 seconds in, he gets a red card for just a terrible challenge. Horrible tackle. I was waiting for him to break. I felt so bad for him. He was obviously so up for the match, and it was no forgiveness for the tackle. But my God, just how the what should have been a dream day has just become an absolute nightmare.
It was interesting as well because Hassan Hüttl, they had a camera where it was a different angle of the boy making the tackle on McTominay, I think it was, and Hassan Hüttl was really close to it, and you could see straight away Hassan Hüttl's mouth go like open, aghast, and then he put his hands like this. And you're right, I felt so sorry for the kid, you know, because
he wasn't malicious, right? In that, no, he was just so up for it.
It was just, was he trying to make a statement on McTominay, who's another young player who he's playing against? He might have played against him in the 23s before, and this is his big stage. I'm not going to be intimidated.
Yeah, yeah.
There was two or three of them making their debut, or two or three young boys playing for Southampton, and it just backfired on Hassan Hüttl straight away. But again, it was a high tackle. There was a big mark on McTominay's leg.
Both legs. It was a double leg tackle, right? His knee on one and his upper thigh on the other. Like you got all of them.
I just hope that I really hope that Hassan Hüttl and the club manage this in the correct manner. The kid knows he's made a mistake. It's all over the news. He's had apparently some racial comments on Twitter, which is disgraceful. And I just hope Hassan Hüttl is the bigger man to say, look, we shouldn't just fold like that because we've gone down to 10 men. We saw Arsenal go down to 10 men and them handle themselves very well against Wolves with another dubious sending off. But I just hope the kid gets another chance. I really do. Because we're all young. We're all young once. We all make mistakes.
He should just come out and say, it was 0-0 when I came off.
That's good. Yeah.
Oh, Craig, one day he'll look back and he'll laugh about it.
That's right. Oh, for sure. Well, yeah.
I mean, if your teammate is, you know, I mean, you'd hope that his teammates would be like, okay, you made a mistake. We lost 9-0. That's partly on us. It's not all on you, right? But it must have been a pretty awkward room post-match with that poor kid, right?
Yeah, sitting there, that's just a little different than our room.
Staring at his shoes.
He was staring at his shoes and everybody, you could probably just feel all the eyeballs just like, especially from the goalkeeper. Amazing how the goalkeeper takes the kind of the brunt of it.
Yeah, and in football, it's not often that the keeper custom, right?
It's the individual position, huh?
Yeah.
Like you could have a striker miss two chances, could have a midfielder make a terrible pass backwards. The opponent striker rounds the keeper, it goes in, but at the end of the day, the keeper conceded the goal.
Well, what's worse, a keeper making two clangers in the first half of a match, real clangers, or a striker missing two sitters from 5 yards out? Who's taking it worse?
The keeper.
Because he has to wait for the next opportunity, whereas a striker can at least get it into the game a little bit, right?
And also, if the striker misses two opportunities, you're still at 0-0. If the keeper lets in two clangers, you're down 2-0.
What if the striker misses two opportunities and then back the other way in the counter-attack?
Okay, you can.
Two detail. Clangers.
Then that's just, yeah. That's relegation, that is,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Speaking of, so after that result, we played Klinsmann. I think they scored in the first 5 minutes, I think, at White Hart Lane. That place just lit up. I'm like, oh, no. Please. Finish 4. I was delighted.
4-1? Was it?
4-0.
4-0.
I don't think we scored a goal in the last fucking 12 games. Like, we were done. It was like lambs to the slaughter. Like, that so mentally.
Were you relegated as well that year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was tough times then.
Tough times.
Mid-90s.
Good players, good strikers back in those days.
That's a fun era for football, wasn't it? And it's just kind of the Premier League just started and stuff. The money's flowing in. It's in Sky Sports. And, you know, the European players are slowly filtering in the top names. Must have been a lot of fun.
Yeah. North American players filtering in.
Well, thanks, buddy.
Was there 8 years before the Premier League?
Yeah, that's must age you, eh? Jesus Christ.
No kidding. Like, I played a lot of football before.
A lot of football. Before football started, before it was born. Mm-hmm. Right? Before the records began. Yeah.
Before it was born.
You were getting hand jobs from Nigel, like when you were...
There was a few. No, not many of them. They weren't football fans.
Wrist rockets,
Nigel's.
They called them. Wrist rockets?
Wrist rockets. How would Nigel say it?
I must say, we used to keep it concurrent, a fleet of young football men in the guest house, and we would give, they would give wrist rockets, and I used to say, no hands! Handball, and I'd make them
offside.
I'd make them give me.
Jeez.
They'd have to do headers. Sherry.
You know, last week I was in the car with the missus and I was playing the podcast, just the first part, right, the first 10 minutes, and I don't think we talked about football for quite a while.
We did.
And at one point she goes, "Like, I thought this was a podcast about soccer. When the hell do you guys talk about soccer?" I said, "Well, we get to
food,
it.
We're waiting for the first."
And then she goes, "Why does anyone even listen to this?" It's a very good question, and the answer is they don't.
We love
it gets us
listeners.
Out of the house. For
come on, we love our listeners.
We do
all 6, 7, 8.
They're fervent.
You just threw it up there just so you prove that that's what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Honestly, I haven't got a fancy woman on Thursday nights.
Oh, yes, you
yet.
Do. Nigel.
Nigel. He's awfully fancy. Okay, so yes, some the incidents this past week were kind of crazy. Speaking of goalkeeper mistakes, what was Bernd Leno doing in the Arsenal game when he came flying out of his area about 10 yards outside the box and punches it clear? Just a brain cramp? Brain freeze? Good, Danny. Craig doesn't pay for
his
own.
He got his timing...
No,
he
I
got his timing
got
and the pace of the ball all wrong.
Yeah.
He came
how far outside of the box is he?
The ball,
way
the
out.
Ball was played like into depth and he was kind of acting as a sweeper. And it was just a strange, bizarre moment because they were already down to 10 men. And the was it Wolves? Who are they playing?
Yeah, Wolves.
Wolves player, Traore, who's not the slowest of players,
no,
was kind of lingering and could have maybe captured the ball if he just let it go. But I thought he could have maybe let it hit his chest or something, but he was just, his positioning was all wrong. Then they go down to 9 men.
How far outside the box was he?
He was probably
8, 9 yards, right?
Yeah,
he was
good 10 yards outside the box.
Oh, so did he just
he tried to mess it up? Yeah, he tried to kind of cover it up a little bit, but he's...
Well, Sharms, you made it sound like he came out and like...
Well, he did kind of.
Bat it with his
It
own.
Looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
It did look bad.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe there's a reason for it.
Do you think it's
stupidity.
Do you think it was a sending off, David Luiz?
Well, because it's Luiz, I'd say yes. But in fairness, no.
It was harsh.
Yeah. I think, do you think his name is part of the reason? He's so known for getting red cards.
Yeah, I think he's obviously got a history, but... I believe it was a penalty. I believe it was a yellow card, but I do not believe it that it was an aggressive challenge to stop the player from kicking the ball or shooting the ball.
Well,
just like Bednarek's.
I was going to say Bednarek, exactly. That wasn't a red card.
And this is where the referees, like, we've got this VAR nonsense going on, but the referees are doing themselves no favours at the moment. A team's down 8-0. 8-0. Martial goes through. He has a little bit of a dive up because he feels maybe a little light bit of pressure. Referee gives... No, he goes to VAR.
For a while
to look at it. And I'm going, if I'm the VAR guy, I'm going to say, listen, who's the ref?
Oh, my God. Who was it?
Where is?
Yeah.
Dickhead. Dickhead ref.
Mine was Graham Paul.
Yours was Graham Paul. Who was cheering at the time, yeah. I would have said, ref, listen, they're 8-0. They're 8-0 down. Give the fella...
It's not clear and obvious anyway.
Yeah, it's not clear. Just give him a little bit of a leeway. Maybe give the penalty, but don't give him a red card. Come on.
Especially for Craig Forrest. Like, for Craig Forrest's sake, don't give him a penalty kick.
Yeah, I mean, there's no heart in football, I guess, right? That was very, very...
I think they get caught up in it.
But why are you diving though at 7-8-0 anyway?
And he actually admitted afterwards that he wasn't touched.
Martial did.
Yeah.
He's got history, like, man. He's got form. Much like, you know, Louisa's got form
now. There's a conversation right there. Like, seriously. Talk about sticking a knife in. Like, what?
Yeah.
It's one thing to get clipped, but actually trying to win a penalty, diving at 8-0.
Yeah.
Nick the knife coming back at you.
That's it.
Yeah, maybe in the parking lot next day, that's for sure. He better be on time.
Checking tires. Watch out. Checking feet.
Yeah. Nick Jason Roberts texted me, said, like, I can't believe you told that story.
Fantastic. But Jason Roberts is listening to our podcast.
Said, I can't believe you told that story. It was fantastic. Said, I hated that guy more than you, and that's a lot.
Did he get fined too, Jay? Yeah.
He said, that guy took a lot of my wages.
Wonder where Nick Knife is now.
Yeah, that's what I kind of said to Rob. I said, wouldn't it be nice if he was like floating at the bottom of an ocean somewhere?
Well, you wouldn't be floating at the bottom, but
cement blocks,
cement slippers,
cement blocks around his ankles.
Yeah. His next club, he was less forgiving. And he got caught by someone and
a grass
murdered. He was murdered.
Grass.
Peach wanted this man murdered.
Snake in the grass.
And that snake in the grass was a pain in the ass. So you have dog. That's an old song from the 80s. Anyway, Liverpool lose to Brighton. Jesus. Now, we know they've got some issues, you know, the back, right? But they've been addressed now. They signed two in the window at the deadline, including Ben Davies from Preston North End, your old team there. Your alma mater.
The Lily Whites.
Like, he's 25, right? I mean, he must be laughing. Like, what? He came out of nowhere and moved to Liverpool. Do you remember ever a teammate getting a move to like a super club when you guys are struggling and he's just like dancing out of the front doors? Yeah. See you, fellas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
Jason Dizel, the Tottenham.
Oh.
Yeah. Jason Dizel, the Tottenham.
Giving it that
local
one as well,
boy. Yeah, he was making he got a big pay increase when he moved to Spurs and left us in the mires, floating in the sludge, trying to get out of the,
floating in the sewage.
Yeah.
Bottom of Nigel. The ocean beside Nick the Knife.
And Nigel.
There's Nigel down there doing terrible things to Nick the Knife. Yeah. And there's Craig's former clubs.
When it gets bad, Teach. Like, please release me. Yeah. Let me go.
In the showers.
Yeah.
I've done my time. Let me go.
Is it a little bit jovial that time? Is it? Yeah.
Towards like when the transfer deadline's happening and guys are like been out of the team, they're like, just songs going crazy. Please release me, let me go. I've done my time. I told you last week when me and Robbo were bin to the youth team, the whole West Brom team would reenact the movie? Shawshank Redemption. They go, Danny Dicchio, walking the green mile. Jason Roberts, walking the green mile. And we just walk through the training session, kicking balls and everything on the way to the youth team pitch on the far side. Here they come, walking the green mile.
Gallows humor, right?
Yeah. They don't do that anymore because those players are making way too much money to be putting them in the
agents
youth team
will be on the phone
training.
When you joined West Ham, was that was off season, right? So you didn't have a chance to kind of say farewell, or did you?
Oh, to Ipswich, you mean?
No, from Ipswich to West Ham.
Yeah. What do you mean? It's farewell.
Like, you mean you left mid during the off season, right?
Yeah,
wasn't like, you know,
it was
you're
preseason.
Preseason, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, so you started preseason with Ipswich?
Well, no, I didn't. They were kind of weird because back then it wasn't the Bosman ruling, right? So they still held your rights, still had to pay you what you were making per week under your contract. But then they wanted me to go on preseason tour to Finland or wherever again, which is, definitely want to go there. But
I've been to Finland. Probably one of the worst places in the world I've ever been.
Did you go?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, not that time, but I've been there many times.
But you enjoyed it.
But I didn't go because I was like, and they were like shocked that I was like, well, okay, so if I go there and get injured.
You weren't under contract.
Well, I'm not under contract. Yeah.
but they still hold your rights.
They were like, what do you mean? Like,
and but they're paying you still.
Yeah, but as soon as, like, if I went over there and got injured at a career ender, they would just stop paying me.
Rear ender from Nigel?
The rear ender.
From Harry.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's so I didn't go, but yeah, their club were like weird. It's very weird, very odd.
So you were out of contract, but as you could be at that time.
Yeah,
yeah, right. Was it an emotional farewell?
Well, no, because I mean they knew my situation, because after what I said, I was on the loan to Chelsea, and they had the FA Cup final that they wanted me to play in '97, and Ipswich could have just said, yeah, we'll extend the loan period, but they're like, try to get some money out of it.
That's clubs too. It's very rare that you suddenly go from one club to the next club the next day without knowing. Like, there's negotiations going on for a while. So you're talking in the locker room, yeah, I'm off to Nottingham Forest next week, or I'm off to Swansea, or I'm talking to this and that. So you kind of already know what's in the works, and then once the final thing's done, you'll go and say like goodbye to your good buddies, or you'll be on the phone and say, unlucky lads.
It's like that scene in scene in the Amazon Spurs series where Danny Rose is trying to get out of Spurs.
Oh, yeah.
And he walks into the canteen and he sits beside Dan Levy and he goes blah blah, goes any news from AC Milan? Levy just goes, no, Danny.
No news.
No news.
What, are you going to Fashion Week in Milan?
Oh, God.
So I was a little ticked off with Ipswich.
Wait, if it wasn't West Ham, where would it have been?
I don't know. No question. No idea.
No, it was always going to be West Ham?
No, just the way things sort of happened. I didn't happen very quickly.
Could have been the San Jose Earthquakes, couldn't it? Or some other MLS team?
I thought United was around.
Oh, they were sniffing around it sometimes, yeah.
Just sniffing around.
And how'd they feel about sniffing around? How'd you feel about them sniffing around?
They went for Schmeichel, I believe.
And that's their regrets ever since.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Yeah, they generally make good decisions.
Wonder what it would be like working under Fergie as a goalkeeper.
Different. What? Yeah. You know what? The spell that I did have at Chelsea, though, and playing with those players like Vialli and Zola and LaBeouf and Hullet's the manager and Graham Ricks and holy shit, amazing talent. It was the first time I went on the field and thought, how the fuck can we lose? Like, having a side that good, I'm like, this is unbelievable talent.
Just shows you talent is not everything, huh?
Well, wait a minute. We did all right.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying in general. Like, I look at the Spurs team at the moment. I go, how are you guys so bad?
Yeah.
Like, so there's, like, that Chelsea team, unbelievable players that had either played very well in other countries and won championships for their national teams.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent players.
Yeah.
But you didn't win the league year in, year out, did you? So
no, by then, they were starting to spend Chelsea. Abramovich hadn't come into the scene, but they obviously, with those players, were starting to spend.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they weren't. They won the FA Cup that year. They won a few trophies. Remember, then Vialli moved into management. He won something.
Yeah, that's right.
That Black Cats team you're on, the really good one. I mean, that was you mentioned before, it was a lot of character on that team as well. You had talent. Yeah, sure, there's talent, but there's also that belief, was that greater than talent on that team?
Yes, for sure. We had an unbelievable team spirit that was built by the head coach and the management staff.
Peter Reid
and his staff, and they knew how to manage players and different characters and personalities. They knew what the team needed at certain times. They protected us during the down times. And they didn't let us get too ahead of ourselves during the good times. And I think that's a key thing for a manager to do. And Peter Reid was fantastic at that. He was a very, very experienced guy.
It's amazing when they get it right, though, eh? It's like during your career, you get all sorts. You know, you get the really bad sides and you're just getting beat up. Lambs to the slaughter every week. And then you got times when you're playing on size and you're flying and you just feel that you're going to win every week.
Yeah.
It becomes contagious.
I've played on less talented teams than teams I played on where I've gone, we're a fucking really good team. But I've played on less talented teams and knew that we would win games just purely because of how we were set up, how we were together as a team compared to teams in the higher level of the Premier League or wherever I was playing. I just didn't have that feeling like we would when I went out with Sunderland or even Mill to a degree and Preston. We had some good players that were just very, very tight as a group.
Why did Peter Reid not go into anything managerial-wise, like beyond that? I mean, for such a great motivator and manager, that was kind of it for him, wasn't it? As far as success.
Yeah. I don't know if he wanted it, actually, Shams. He went on to coach, I think, abroad in Thailand or somewhere like that, the national team and stuff like that. But I think he was really... he coached at Man City before. He's a big Everton fan. He's from Liverpool, Merseyside. Mm-hmm. And maybe he just thought, nah, this is not for me anymore. He's made enough money. He didn't want to stress himself.
I think that's it. I think he put too much stress into it.
And he was big, big friends with Howard Kendall. Howard Kendall was like his mentor as well.
His manager, right?
I think he saw what happened to the keg, Howard Kendall. Mm-hmm. And that really, really hurt him as well. But there's been rumors of him going back to Sunderland at times. And mm-hmm. I think he's clever enough to say, no, that was a great time for us as a group. It's going to be very hard to replicate that. But a very good, very good players manager. And I'm not sure if there's... I don't know if there's a job for that kind of manager anymore, Craig, because the game has evolved so much now tactically. Yeah. And we spoke about it last week, how much stuff goes on beyond the game now, beyond the actual field. And I'm not sure whether guys like that.
You got to manage
really
a staff of forget your players, but you have how many?
So much.
What's your
now.
Staff? Your backroom staff's massive now. You are a manager more than a coach in some ways, right? All for the shame of it. Too bad.
I can't imagine back in the day where the coach is coaching, managing, GM. You're doing your contracts with the guy. You know, like you're negotiating with the guy who's coaching on the field and picking every week. It's the oddest thing.
Dude, that's just like what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
That's Dan Wong. Dan Wong's out GM.
Greg, you're fired.
Yeah, this is probably the right time to say it to him, right?
Bell left people off. And
yeah, it's filled it down to footy prime, the podcast.
Exactly.
The coach is telling you how good he is, but he's also telling you, well, you're not that good because we're only going to give you this much.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, you know what I mean?
So this
but
is
I
our,
want you to play well on Saturday, but you know.
So what you're saying, Dan, this is mine and Craig's last podcast. You got more people coming
to
replace us?
No, yours. Just Craig's.
Oh, just Craig.
What a freaking call it Bell TSN, eh? Oh. Jesus Christ. What a disgusting business sports media is. Jesus.
We felt that a year ago, guys.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, if you're not a part of teams that these companies actually own.
Yeah.
Or even then.
So what's
happened? Bell's a part owner and Rogers is a part owner of Toronto SC.
So what's happened in the last couple of days? I know Bell, they let go of a lot of people, Dan, but then TSN today.
TSN too, yes. Nothing's confirmed yet, right? I don't think. It's all kind of slipping down through the
from all
the
different
rumor
sports,
mill, so.
Or is it just certain sports?
It's news on radio, but it's the big news is, if we're going to talk about it, is Bell Media owns TSN. There's people who got laid off that we all know, but Bell Media has accepted over $100 million in benefits and has laid all these people off and just had that mental health let's talk and just decided
paid out to dividends to their
paid out increased dividends to their shareholders. So
but hold on, the Bell Let's Talk Day, which is a fantastic
initiative
to do, how much of that money actually goes to like Cam H and other places around
it
Canada?
It probably all does.
Yeah,
but
it's also like
it's optics.
It's a great branding positive thing for Bell, and it is a great thing.
I mean, all MLS was on it this week as well. Every MLS club tweeted out Bell Let's Talk.
Yeah.
Which is the first time I've ever seen it, like American clubs doing it.
Right.
It's just massive.
Well, the reporters from TSN, the soccer guys that want to report on that and say what that, how great that'd be, got fired.
Wow.
So they're not going to be reporting on that.
So Bell Media has had a hell of a day on Twitter, and, you know, it's an interesting...
It's a freaking disgrace is what it is.
Disgusting. And the fact that taxpayers basically paid for these firings and these shareholders getting dividends. That's the easiest way. I mean, it's transitivity, right? It's all interconnected. Yeah. But
it's one thing if they're not, if they're losing money and whatever they're doing and the cable, whatever, whatever. But the fact that they accepted that money and used that money, millions and millions of dollars of taxpayers' money.
And this is their third round of layoffs.
Yeah.
So this
but they're
is
all
like,
doing it.
They're around 700 people now who've been laid off in the last 3.5 months.
And you meet these kids in the business who are trying to get into the business, and they go into these, you know, media schools. And I mean, we've all probably spoken at these schools from time to time and met these kids, and they're so full of ambition. And you don't want to say it to them, but the best advice you could give them is like, have a plan B.
Start a podcast.
Do something else.
Start a podcast.
It's just such a volatile industry, right? I think that
make this what you're doing a plan B and get a plan A.
Yeah, right. Precisely. Yeah, exactly. It's so difficult. And there's just so much volatility, and you can't trust, you know, the guy who's paying you, signing your checks, or just managing you. They're all looking out for themselves, and there's no far-sightedness in half these firings. How can we save some bucks right now? It's bullshit. And you know, we went through it, and we've got friends who've gone through it, and are going through it, and it's just a
corporate monster. And at the very, very top, their job is to make the stocks go up. And they get bonuses
to make
the stocks go up in any way they can. In the United States, they're buying their own frickin' stocks back. How can you...
Doesn't Bell own MLSC?
I think they're part of it.
They are, yeah. Rogers, Bell, and Tannenbaum, right?
They're all in bed with each other.
It's a horrible industry. To a point. Just horrible. Let's be honest.
So tell me this. So, like, Canada have... with the US and Mexico, the World Cup in...
Just talking about this one, mate.
2026.
Yeah.
The amount of football and also in-studio football programs that are going on now has gone down to like 10%, 15%.
It's like nil now, isn't it? Like, really?
So what are you thinking? Are they going to bump it up again as we get closer to the World Cup, or...
They're not going to do anything that they don't if they can
footy
make money
prime,
off it.
How
can they make if they can make money off it? That's the only way they're going to do it.
Maybe it's cheaper just to feed it in from overseas.
It's kind of like what they do with the Winter Olympics, like in Vancouver 2010. They went nuts over that one off. Is that going to happen in Canada? Like go crazy for a couple of years? I don't think it's going to be a build up. It's not a build up. We thought it would be a build up.
Remember that when that announcement was made, we were so excited. I think, man, this is going to be good for years for Canadian soccer media. Good for years. And it's been anything but. It's been the complete opposite.
There was so much football on TV. It was great. And now you can still say, okay, well, for you know, $150 a year, you can get DAZN, and it's a great product. But you're only getting the people that love the game on there. You're not growing it in any way.
But surely, like, the CSA should step in and...
But what power have they got? They got no power.
But they need to. If they want to really broaden like people's minds into maybe taking up...
Yeah, like, growing the game.
Growing the game.
But how are they going
to watching it. But like the CSA, you have to step in, whether it's the men's game, the women's game, youth, whatever it is. You can't just put it on an app, Craig, and expect people to buy the app and watch it. It needs
to
be...
Right. But also, One Soccer was supposed to and intended and still do... to get a terrestrial channel, right?
Yeah.
They know that it's going to go... Can you imagine when the World Cup qualifiers and, oh, yeah, where are they? You've got to subscribe to... what? Like it...
Yeah. You know. Yeah, it's a really strange time, and COVID
and
came at the worst time possible as well.
Yeah.
I know, you know, One Soccer had a lot of plans, and, you know, COVID kind of pissed all over those. So, yeah, it's in a really dark place right now, I think. The sports media in this country at the moment, a real, real dark place. Part of it is not the media's fault because of this pandemic, but a A lot of it is too, and a lot of this short-sightedness by the power brokers.
The NHL is losing money by playing.
Yeah.
Bettman said that. You could also say he may be lying, but I think generally you think about it, they probably are.
Tell me this, like, I don't watch hockey at all. Are they still doing like in-studio programs and stuff?
Yeah.
Of course.
Saturday night hockey is still a thing?
Yeah, nothing's changed in that regard, yeah.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
But I mean, even hockey was hammered with playoffs last year, right? Big names. Kiprios, you know, yeah. Doug McLean. So no one's safe. Even in TSN, Dan O'Toole was canned today. Dan O'Toole's been he went to the States for a while with Jay Onwright.
But he's stalwart,
He's a stalwart, right? Yeah. He's part of he's TSN through and through.
Yep. And we need some new voices because...
They're cheaper.
Dicchio.
Dicchio's hockey show.
Oh, man, that would be brilliant.
I don't know what the fuck this is.
Yeah.
I can't even see the puck.
You know what would be interesting? I would like to know if
Dicchio calling a hockey game? That would be brilliant.
I hate him. I fucking hate him.
I would do it just to wind you up.
Make Sharms listen to it.
And this fella has gone up the ice. He's skating up near the boards. Yep. And he's pulled the puck.
I would pay to listen to Dicchio over some of these clowns. Trust me. My God. Wow. I mean,
a slapper. Right into the back of the net.
For a national sport,
I don't watch a lot, but I did listen to the East Indian gentleman that calls the games for CBS. And I tell you what, he's good. Like, legit good.
It is going to be the hardest sport, I think, to commentate on. So quick.
Hold on. How did you understand Punjabi?
Well, actually, that's right, because they do actually do it in Punjabi. But this,
a lot of weed.
Did he ever do it? Did he do it in Punjabi as well?
Originally he did, right? Originally.
Yeah, there's a Punjabi broadcast of it.
He does it in Punjabi. There is.
No, but he did the first English. Forgive my ignorance. He's Sikh?
He's Sikh. Yeah.
I think the first Sikh to do play-by-play.
Oh, so English he did English.
On CBC,
so
yeah.
He got
but
called
it,
up
but
the
he
big
sounds
leagues.
Really good. You know, I would have never have known if you didn't, like, you just, no, it was, like, very good.
So he's bilingual.
I didn't even know he did it, he was the guy that did it in...
God, Don Cherry
he could
must
be trilingual
over
like
in his grave. Don Cherry rolling alive. Over. I know he is.
He could be trilingual like
in
Nigel.
His grave. He's just rolling over
can
in
you
his
imagine?
Grave.
They should put him on Coach's Corner, this guy, say he
how do you feel about that guy with the turban?
Yeah.
With the long hair. Didn't cut his hair. How do you feel, Don? Does he know what the Remembrance Day is for?
I'd hope so. The Sikh army were freaking badass.
Yeah.
They were badass.
That's right.
Anyway, let's not accuse Don Cherry of things. We have no idea what he stands on. We just assume.
Well,
I thought we were getting him on the show next week.
Why not? We're
good friends with Sharms. Proud boys.
Terrorist group
terrorist
now in England.
Now, thankfully. Jesus. This is a great segue into our Sean Deitch soundbite.
Oh, yeah.
Where was this on? What was it on? We should give credit to where it's due.
Oh, independent.ie.
Okay.
So it's the Independent.
Okay. Basically, it's Sean Deitch in a press conference this week. It's just classic Sean Deitch.
Thank you very much. Has anybody ever told you you look just like Mick Hucknall?
Listen, can you say that? Apparently, I look very much like Chris Evans, too. I mean, I can't see it. Personally speaking, I can't see it. But apparently I do, so it's a fair point that you make. Thank you very much for reminding everyone of that. Clear fact that I obviously do look like Mick Hucknall. Thank you. Brilliant, because they're less boring. It's like lockdown's really hard for everyone. It's really boring for everyone. So we're just having a natter and just trying to show a bit of humanity in the world. You know what I mean? We are human. Boring questions, they bat them off. You ask me a silly question, I give a silly answer, and we might as well just not bore everyone to death. No, we're not sick. Yeah, we're raising ourselves to looky-likeys. Looky-likeys make the world go. Have you never sat in a pub, well, although that seems like a distant memory, with your mates and just found looky-likeys in the pub? It's one of the best bits of fun you'll ever have in a night. Trust me, just do it. The next time you're allowed in a pub, sit with some friends. You're probably only allowed three, but anyway, sit with some friends or something, and just look for looky-likeys. Brilliant. Brilliant fun. Love looky-likeys. Certainly we're not lowering ourselves, guys. We're raising the bar. Do you know, has anyone seen the kids' film, Up?
Yes.
Right, you know the little old man with the glasses on? I swear to you, we were playing away at Sunderland, and a live human version of the man, Up, in Up was there. And I said, the lads were having stuff. I went, oh my God, lads, I've got the best one ever. I've got the best one ever. I was nudging around the table. He was just literally at the bar there. And I was nudging and I was going, I fell out of Up. Oh my God, they were crying. They were crying. It's the best looky likey I've ever had. It literally was the cartoon man out of Up, but in a human form. It was bizarre. And I said, oh my God, that is actually him. To the point where you like want to get a selfie, you know, with them subliminals. When he's at the bar, you just turn and go, dunk. Love that game.
Absolutely classic Sean Dyche. I would listen to that kind of press conference every day. Better than the usual mundane bullshit.
Everybody's, you know, you just, that's a press conference where it's only in 2021, isn't it? Like, everybody's losing their freaking minds.
Yeah, exactly.
But Looky Likey is a great, everybody does it.
Do you call it, I call it like In the Room. Like,
yeah, we never called it Looky Likey.
No, In the Room, like I've never seen so-and-so or that person there in the same room as this person.
Oh, okay.
Right, at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I've never seen JC here in the same room with Sean Dyche at the same time, for example, because you and Sean Dyche look quite similar. I thought that, don't you? Can you see that? Apart from you're not bald.
A little bit.
He's ginger.
He's got a red hair.
Looks nothing like him.
No, you do. If you like the goatee and the shady head, he could be Sean Dyche. No?
No.
See? That would be weird. Transatlantic flyer. What the hell was that?
Is Dan okay?
Sorry, so if you didn't hear it, Dan Wong may have died.
No, we just copy something up. We used to call it lookalikes. Lookalikes or doppelgangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I never even knew there was a name for it. Yeah, we've already just heard five different names. Yeah.
It is fun, though, and I am fucking good at it, too.
What do you mean good at it?
I'm great at it. What do you mean? Why are you so surprised?
Well, you can't say you're like, good at it.
I can, because people will say, you're right. You're right. That is the guy from Up.
But you're right. I think...
Well, so far, you're 0-1 because you said it looks like Sean Dyche. Looks nothing
he
like
does, but Dyche agreed.
A little bit. Skinny Sean Dyche. But I think the press conference was, I think it was enlightening because Dyche is fed up with doing these press conferences, the same jargon all the time.
And the same three probably.
Same three guys.
Yeah. Even if, would there even be three? Yeah. It's Burnley.
Burnley.
How many, like Burnley's what, 60,000 people?
Well, they were doing them on like a Zoom call first of all. So they've only just started allowing press back in, and it must be local press that allowed them to
room. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
But you think about it, it's got to be the same guys, the same question. So how are you going to, like...
There might be literally two guys there.
Yeah, how are you going to play against Man City this weekend? How are you going to, like...
And it's coming off the transfer window, too, which every day it's like, who are you going to sign? Who are you going to sign? Yeah.
So it was good that he came out and said, how refreshing is this?
Yeah. It was a refreshing answer. And just to mentioning sitting in the pub with your mates. You know what? I hate all of you in here, but I cannot wait to sit on a patio in a pub in a few months' time, sink some beers
with my other mates,
beers and then play and play Looky Likey.
My real mates.
That one there looks like Dane Thicchio. Well, that got me thinking. I was kind of thinking, who do you guys all look like here, right? And obviously, I have Sean Dyche and Mick Hucknall for JC here. Isn't Mick Hucknall dead?
Simply Red.
No, who's the ginger that's dead? You know,
ginger?
The one that killed himself. Oh, years ago. Oh, my God.
You're narrowing it down a lot.
Which ginger?
Not, no. I'm not thinking of Michael Hutchins, am I?
No,
he's not ginger. Michael Hutchins, was he ginger?
Talking about dead people.
Yeah.
That took a dark turn. I thought we were playing Looky Likey.
Yeah. Was Freddie Mercury?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't a redhead.
He was a ginger.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, he was a ginger.
I'm lost
in a different way.
Oh yeah, is that a slang for something?
Yes.
Is it ginger?
Ginger beer?
Oh really? I've never heard that before.
You've been here too long, man.
I guess so. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't.
Or I'm just not. You
close.
Know,
he wasn't even close to London. Not even Overspill, right?
Yeah, he was counties. Charles was counties.
I was trying to think who Craig looks like, and I was just trying to think of famous tall people.
Were you upper class?
Oh, me? What do you think?
Good chance.
They moved to Canada.
Jesus.
Private school.
You comprehensive. Rugby. Thank you very much.
Well, there you go.
There you go. It's comprehensive. There's nothing posh about that. Believe me.
You play rugby.
So well, just because I'm not a heathen doesn't mean that I'm freaking upper class.
And your dad was a rugby coach and obviously a very good one.
He also played cricket.
I did play cricket.
Remember?
Everyone plays cricket.
There's him another and his one. Gloves.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Nigel loved him.
There is nothing upper class.
Definitely upper class. Rugby, cricket.
Yeah.
I play footy as well.
Sharps, it's okay, man. You can talk about it.
I'm so ashamed of my affluent youth.
Just because you're with a foreign.
I'm not. It was a middle class family, for Christ's sake. Jesus.
The most upper class Asian that you've ever come across.
Yeah. That's right.
From East Coast to Canada.
We're only two generations away from being in the field, baby. Yeah.
Canada's Bobby Kim over there.
Oh. So mean. I'm starting cutting.
I had to actually look up who Bobby Kim was when you on the dark web. We were asking, you know, who looks like who. And Wonga said, if anyone mentions Bobby Kim, I'm going to slice my wrists.
I'm going to have a look at Bobby Kim.
He looks nothing like him.
I don't even know who he is.
5 foot five.
Because here's my lookalike. Sloth from Goonies.
You do look like him.
Yeah,
and
I know.
You talk like him too.
When I used to play away games like Cardiff and stuff like that, I used to go and grab the ball from down by the advertising boards, and they'd be in the crowd going, "Hey, you guys!" Yeah, thanks, lads. Good banter. Fuck off. Hey, you guys.
Do that really well.
Do you remember Dasso?
Dasso was the
Dasso's
best.
Dasso's got another good one. He's up in Scotland playing for St. Johnstone. Nick Dasovic. And he's out there warming up. And all these guys are like chanting at him, "Get off the train! Get off my train!" And all the players are laughing. He's like, it's that scene on Ghost. Have you ever seen you've got to see the scene in Ghost.
That's not
when
Bobby Kim.
He was actually yelling at a ghost, "Get off my train," because he could see him. Bobby Kim. And he looked a little bit like the guy from the Goonies. And that's the only lies.
That guy was a famous comedian, isn't he? He's a comic, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, he was a comedian.
Yeah. The guy in Ghost. He's a guy who's very monotone, you know, and just.
Thanks very much. He goes, he's getting that in Scotland. Must be bad, right? Come on, man.
See, doing this like looky-likey, like anything with Wonga is going to come across as being racist, right? So it's hard to say you look like so-and-so. Oh, it's just because I'm Asian, right? Like Bobby Kim, for example. You look nothing like Bobby Kim.
I'm searching Bobby Kim. And
is he Asian?
That's not you.
Yeah.
No.
I think like more Mr. Miyagi.
Maybe. David Suzuki.
That's the go-to, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Asian Suzuki, guy with a beard.
Wait, I'm going to do that. Remember when Daniel San kicks him in the head and he knows he's won and he goes... right at the end.
He's got the nod.
You need a white beard, though. Like, just stop putting the old Grecian formula.
No, I stopped. I'm now literally...
Oh, natural?
Natural.
Yeah?
Yep. Pubes have 17 but
every one of my Asian guys I've ever known in my life, at some point, have had the Mr. Miyagi.
All of your friends.
It's so racist.
You growing up with
all my Asian friends. I know how that sounds. It's like, Shams is all right. He can't be racist. He's got friends.
Yeah. Mr. Racism himself.
Yeah.
James. KKK. Sharman.
He's Proud Boys earlier, for Christ's sake. I don't know what I've done to...
Did you have an Asian butler?
He did, and he would do kung fu.
Listen, I think all races are equally worthless.
Gentle. That's right, Sharps. That's why Sharps.
Wasn't it Benson?
See,
wasn't that the show?
That was Dan Wong
the butler.
Yeah, impression, by the
Benson.
Way.
Remember Benson? Wasn't he a butler?
Yeah, he was a butler.
Yeah,
he wasn't
for soap, and then he went and did the governor went for his own show.
Oh, really?
He wasn't. Yeah.
Didn't work out so well.
No, he's black.
Yeah.
Shams, who's Jeff's lookalike?
Well, we had Mick Hucknall and Chris Evans and Prince Harry and Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
That's a good mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a mix of all of them. That would be a pretty
Nicole
good
Kidman now or when she was younger? And
she's still hot. She's still hot, though, now. She's
great,
plasticky now, but she's still hot.
She's looking like
a cartoon character herself.
No, for sure she is. For sure she is. However.
And she's a beautiful... I just watched a Hugh Grant...
yeah, it's good.
Grant. Yeah, it's not bad.
Well,
the TV series.
It's a TV series. Hugh Grant, Nicole Kidman on Crave or HBO.
Oh, yeah? What's it about?
Another something? Someone's...
Yeah, Hugh Grant has an affair, doesn't he? Yeah, that's right.
He always has affairs, doesn't he? In most of his movies.
And a real life.
Yeah, that wasn't an affair. It was like a little $5 blowy, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Liz Hurley.
He fancied that.
That's looking spectacular.
She's
doing
incredible.
Her daily...
incredible.
Daily photos from on holiday or
Liz
vacation.
Hurley's son looks incredible.
Taylor's incredible. Using FaceApp.
That's...
Female Craig Forrest is... not someone you could get out of bed for eating crackers.
No. Female
Craig Forrest is someone I might grab a bum to.
Who's Craig? Who's so Craig's lookalike?
I was just trying to find like tall
Craig.
Tall famous people. Craig. So
Craig
tall famous people. So Shaq came up, and not much of a comparison there.
Who no. You met though? You've met
Shaq. Yep.
Oh yeah, a few times.
I thought maybe Stephen Merchant.
Shaq Yao Ming
could be Stephen Merchant, right? Yeah. Ricky Gervais's buddy, the big googly-eyed guy.
Better looking.
Jesus yep. Christ.
I mean, Stephen Merchant's better
yeah.
looking.
Yeah. That's what I meant. David Hasselhoff.
The Hoff.
Oh, there we go.
That's not bad.
Baywatch.
Could be worse.
Bad.
But he doesn't really look
I wouldn't want to be him, especially on the night of O.J. Simpson's Bronco chase. Did you know he had a live fucking concert?
And everyone vacated the concert.
The Hoff got... canned by OJ, so no one showed up
for his
concert.
He's doing a live concert that night of the Bronco chase with OJ.
Didn't OJ say he was at the concert?
yeah, he parked in the...
You know what, Hasselhoff was really big musically in Germany.
Germany, yeah, he's huge.
The Hoff.
Yeah, so he was going to do this massive thing, it was like pay-per-view, and then, yeah.
But there's no one that Craig would...
He kind of jokes about it now. It's kind of like being 9-0 and
yeah.
25 years later you laugh about it.
But I don't think Craig really jumps out as looking like anyone though, really. Do you think
he's... His own
Beach on the other hand.
Person.
Yeah. Just bang average.
Bang average.
That's what we always said about him.
Yeah.
That's why he's our friend, because we know he comes in bang average.
We all feel okay around him.
Yeah, especially you, because you're so much better than all of us.
Upper class.
Well, who do you think you are?
Looking down my nose at you, scum. Yes.
Exactly. See? Told ya.
G'day. Just hate you all.
Charms.
Yeah. Dickio, Howie Mandel.
Oh!
Who's Howie Mandel?
Instantly, like famous bald people.
Just basically pulled every bald guy out.
Red beard at times, yeah. Billy Corgan. Thought about that.
Don't know.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Because
he's tall and he's bald.
I actually like some...
Sinead O'Connor.
Who's a
famous actor?
Vin Diesel, a little bit.
Yul Brynner,
nice one.
Yeah.
Yul Brynner.
Kojak.
Bring back your Moses to me.
Telly Savalas.
That's right, Telly Savalas. That's Kojak. Yeah, Yul Brynner was the king and I, right? That's right, the king. I got Yul Brynner and Telly Savalas mixed up.
He does look a little Telly Savalas.
A little bit.
Ben Kingsley.
Dirty Dozen.
Oh, Telly Savalas.
Yeah.
Great
movie. Kojak.
He was great.
Great movie.
Steely Glaze. Or Gaze.
Looky Likeys doesn't work properly set socially distanced in the garage, guys. You've got to be in a busy place.
You do.
What about Charms? Are you going to say yourself?
No, I've got me.
Andy Cap. Yeah, you sit on the couch.
The missus beats me.
Judgmental. Or she, fucking.
Does the missus beat Andy Cap, or does Andy Cap beat the missus? I forget now.
The missus beats him with a rolling pin.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's about right.
With her same clothes on, they have the same clothes.
I think you'd look more like Elton John.
Which era Elton John? The most recent one? Elton?
No. Bernie Taupin is who he looks like.
I don't know. You keep shouting his names. I have no idea who they are.
What? Bernie Taupin is Elton John's boyfriend at the
No, he's not his boyfriend. He's a songwriter. He writes the songs. But then the Bernie Taupin's straight.
I thought they were dating each other.
No.
I don't think so. I never watched the film.
Bernie Taupin's straight. There was an attempt at kiss.
Right. I've watched the movie, yeah.
Which was thwarted by Bernie.
Bernie Taupin.
He said, I'll just write your lyrics for you.
Bernie Taupin.
Nothing else.
Paul Simon.
So just thinking like what? Paul Simon?
Tom Petty.
Tom Petty. Grizzled rock stars? I'll take that.
He looks like the guy of Beachcombers.
Relic? Relic?
I've never seen Beachcombers.
Like
who's Relic?
We'll put a picture up.
No idea. Find me a picture of Relic. I'm assuming it's offensive.
No, you don't look like him. With a toucan. Pull him up.
No internet right here, so.
Well, I look a bit like a young Nigel Nigelson.
Yes, you do.
You've got the sweaty upper lip, so that makes sense.
I could certainly see a young you inside me.
Behave, Nigel, behave.
God.
Oh, thank God no one listens to this podcast.
We got any more football to talk?
I don't know. I haven't got anything. You?
Yeah, we do. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We
yeah,
do?
Yeah,
we, oh, yeah, footy picks.
Part of the show.
Are you ready?
It's the most listened to part of the show.
The only listened to part.
You ready?
It's footy picks. It's footy picks. It's footy picks. On footy.
Nice. That's nice vibrato.
That's well done. Those jogs are working for you.
That's Relic. I don't think it looks anything like me, does it?
What's our games this week, then?
Miserable bastard. Shit. My phone died.
We have that much.
Okay. I know what I
are. I sent them to you.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So where are we at? Oh, we got. You didn't send them to me, did you?
Yeah, I did. I put them on our dark web.
Oh, did it on the dark web? Okay.
We got Man U Everton.
All right.
Spurs, West Brom, Liv.
All right. Let's start with Man U Everton, of course. The Red Devils coming off a 9-0 hammering off Southampton. Everton, inconsistent. Up and down, but overall pretty good.
Hmm?
What's your thoughts on...
They beat Leicester last week, and they just beat Leeds yesterday, Everton. So they're on a little two-game bounce. This is a tough one. This is going to be a good game,
really
actually.
Tough game.
Is that Old Trafford, yeah?
Is that Old Trafford? Yeah. Where United have got one of the best away records, but not too good at home. Same with Liverpool this year as well. They've been bad at home. I'm going to go for a little draw here.
Really? After a 9-0 win?
1-1.
Wow. I'm going to say 4-0.
4-0 United.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just because Klinsmann scored against you in the next game.
I think they're just going to do the same. Or is it Southampton's going to lose 4-0?
Yeah, wait a minute. That made no sense whatsoever. That made absolutely no sense.
No, actually, right. But I'm still going 4-0.
If you would like to hire Craig Forrest as a logistics manager, please call Footy Prime, the podcast.
On Footy Prime.
Beach waits all week for that. That's like a... It's like a...
Beauty.
You know what I mean? Like it's...
The vibrato
it's letting
at the
it
end,
all out. Letting it out. All out.
Dude, he's been running.
Stress. Stress and everything just coming out in that.
Spurs, West Brom. Spurs, West Brom. At White Hart Lane.
Spurs.
The new and improved.
Big Sam taking his.
White Hart Lane.
Bunch of badges.
Both teams are going to stay on their own half.
Yeah, it's going to be the deepest block of two teams. They're going to out-block each other.
Be a big, huge gap in the middle of the field, right? Just the ball just sitting there.
Seriously.
What an awful game this could be. Just awful. Dele Alli's back in the fold, apparently. Him and Josie have made up after his move to PSG fell through.
Spurs don't look like they could score a goal at the moment.
Tough times.
I'm gonna go against the grain here and say a draw. So
is that against
a 0-0.
I don't think it is.
That's not against the grain.
You went for a draw last
match. Everyone's thinking Spurs should hammer West Brom. West Brom just got beat by Sheffield United.
Do you know what is Spurs are? I don't know what they are.
No.
I just don't know. I know what they should be. But
they're not performing.
No, I've lost some confidence.
Yeah. So I'm going to draw there.
You're going to draw? You know what?
That's, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-0 Spurs.
2-0 Spurs.
0-0.
0-0 and a 2-0. All right. Liverpool, Man City. Jesus. Ben Davies might get his debut.
City, 3-1.
I don't think. All right, 3-1. Now, up until this past result, it looked as if the boy turned things around, played much better as well, right? But you're as good as your last game.
2-2.
Desmond's.
Is the race over? I mean, I know who is it came out? Robertson came out and goes, essentially, we're not in the race right now, which is tough to argue, looking at the table.
Right now, they're clinging. Right?
Yeah, they have to win this game.
They got to win this game.
Where are we at here, table-wise?
First time Man United fans want Liverpool
I don't honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
7 points difference, right? But
I don't see City being caught now.
No.
It would be 10 points with City having a game in hand still on Liverpool if City won this game. So that's done.
Yeah.
At least as far as the Reds challenging for the title. Right now, the fourth place, top four, is going to be a battle for Liverpool. West Ham, 2 points back. Chelsea now 4 points back.
United, what, 4 points back on City at the moment with a game in hand? City have got a game in hand.
3 points back, and City with a game in hand, yeah.
We're going to end this segment with...
It's footy picks, it's footy picks.
At least get the words right, for Christ's sakes.
It's footy picks on a footy prime.
We're just trying our best out in this garage.
Like... Recording
equipment. Damn, remember when the big bosses come in to buy 40 picks and 40 prime? It's me and you, brother.
Yeah, you guys. You.
You.
What did you say that Charms look like? What did we have?
Relic, he said.
Relic.
Just because he was a toque, and I'm wearing a toque. Right. That was the reason.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of grumpy.
Well, yeah.
You are the grumpiest out of all of us. I mean,
I am not grumpier than Dickie O.
Oh, he's hateful.
No chance.
He's the most hateful.
You're grumpy.
You think so?
Yeah.
Overall, my general personality or just for this show?
Just think you're the grumpiest out of us five.
Really?
No. Not really.
Craig's the grumpiest.
I mean, I think our personality.
Oh, no, I'm not comparing anybody to you. I'm just thinking, is he at any level? No, you're...
I think generally I just try and keep the show moving, boys.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
And most of it's in, like...
Jest.
Right.
Self-deprecation.
Exactly. Right.
Thank you, Craig. Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's good of you.
I'd give
Cheers.
You knuckles if I could reach you, but
yeah, if you could,
it's
too far away in this
five away.
Socially distanced
Craig and
backyard.
You actually look a lot alike.
Who do?
You and Craig. Look
with the glasses. We've got a toque in the glasses. Yeah, that's right, actually. Actually, we both look a bit like the guy from Up. Like Sean Dyche.
That's who Dyche was talking about.
Yeah, actually, my dad looks like the guy from Up, actually. Now you mention it. He does. Like, actually, he really does. Same glasses, too.
Let's talk about Dyche's beard.
You like it?
You're on fire. Like, it's amazing.
Trimmed,
you just put some...
No, I trimmed it today. I trimmed it, a little shave up.
And he dyed it.
And put a little bit of dye and some speckles here and there.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a little Giuliani-ish while it goes up your face.
I put one of those on me and one of those face apps. I looked a million.
That's right. The Tokyo Forest Copper. Now, that's a bit weird. It's kind of Woody Allen, wasn't it? It looked weird. That combination.
Oh, you're talking about the combination.
Yeah, yeah. What were you saying? The beard, weren't you?
Yeah, I was just doing... Right. I just hit the good-looking app. Make yourself good-looking. and it gave me a beard.
Covered your face up.
It did.
You're so behind the times, Craig. Come on, you got to grow a beard now.
I'm really good looking when the beard's covering my face.
I don't have to. I can just hit the fucking app, Dan. Don't even have to.
Don't have to go through the process.
Oh, you can make yourself look $1 million. Anybody.
Kim Kardashian.
So you're saying
seriously. You have no idea what you're looking at.
So social media... What you're saying is it doesn't always...
Well, I wasn't going to post any pictures, but you're going to see a whole flood of them pretty soon. I'm going to be like Burt fucking Lancaster like back in the 60s.
I thought you were going to say from Field of Dreams when he was old and couldn't walk.
Oh, was he in that? That's right.
No, that was Kevin Costner.
Doc, the doctor. No, come on.
Yeah, like they, I'll be like Hasselhoff.
You know your sports movies.
Well, Nigel's a big fan of that movie because the line, if you touch them, they will come.
Hey, can we do a little 40 picks for the big game this weekend?
Yeah.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Sunday.
What's the odds at the moment, the over-unders on...
it's great to ask someone who...
Kansas got to be the favorites, huh?
Three, isn't it? I think it's plus three.
You're right.
Plus three by KC, correct?
Come on, Craig. You're the football guy.
KC plus three.
You'll take...
Yes.
They're favored by three.
I think it's going to be KC by 20. I think it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you're KC by 20.
Yeah.
I think that would be. I honestly think,
Nigel,
that there's potentials there for
a blowout.
Yeah, I think if you're going to bet, I'd be betting high. Hedge it with something low.
Yeah, yeah. Nigel,
the one thing I can say about the American sport of football, which is slightly different from the topic that we're discussing here. Today, they wear incredibly tight trousers. And I must say, if most sports would adopt this type of attire, perhaps you'd have a whole different genre of spectators.
I hope that they all have a great time, and there's a lot of bending over and hiking balls and pushing up the field and scoring and touching downs, etc. And I'm going to need to sleep.
Get that man a sherry. Get that man a sherry.
So no odds from Nigel.
Nigel is very odd.
Yeah. Who you got? Come on.
I don't really give a flying shit. I would say, is Patrick Mahomes even healthy?
Yes.
He is? But he got a terrible concussion like 2 weeks ago, didn't he?
Yeah, but he played in the game to get him to the Super Bowl.
Patrick CTE Mahomes.
Craig, he said plus 20. You're going to go even more. Go on.
Okay, well.
Plus 30.
Over under is 56.
Over under.
So that, okay. We're also doing over under. So it's plus 3 or negative 3 KC. So they're favored by 3 points.
As long as Tom Brady gets smacked,
56 is the over under. So I don't think it's going to go over.
I do.
So basically, I'm Dan Casey, minus 3. Is it 3 on the nose or 3.5?
It's saying 3.
Yeah, interesting.
Odd.
I definitely
is this Brady's
KC.
10th Super Bowl? Is that?
Yeah, I think it is.
And he's won how many?
6. He's going for his 7th. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's incredible.
And Cesaro absolutely put out 18% incredible. Of the Super Bowls Tom Brady has been in.
One.
Wow.
No, it's been in.
Been in 18%.
18%.
Yeah, the league's not that old.
Yeah. But still, that's quite amazing, isn't it? What a feat.
Incredible.
Is that the best record, the greatest record in sport, do you think? I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be up there, right?
I mean, you know, here's the thing, Sharms. They did change the rules for him, right?
How?
You could go kill a quarterback. And because all these quarterbacks, he was kind of the guy that they said, we can't have him being hurt. And yeah, there were other quarterbacks, Roethlisberger. And so to throw the ball down the field, back in the day, these guys would take a risk. There's no risk anymore.
Right.
It's barely a risk.
And that was changed because of Tom Brady.
Well, it was just one
quarterbacks
star
across,
quarterback
yeah,
after
quarterbacks around the way. But it's one of those things where you're like, yes, he's amazing. He's the GOAT. But how would he have been against, you know?
Yeah, this is intergenerational
like
comparison.
Like, you can't comparison is really
like
hard because the rule changed.
Our football is so different than it was when...
Well, when you started, I mean, the pass back wasn't there when you started. Right? That changed a lot.
Picked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throw it out to the fullback. Oh, my God. I mean, really, how boring was that?
Teams used to kill the game.
Oh, my God. You're one up, and you're just like, you forget it. You didn't even have to roll outside the box at one time. You just roll it to a guy, and they pass it back. And then the other fullback, the left guy, then he would show and he'd throw it out to him and then he'd come in and he'd pick it up.
It was a tactic, yeah. It was a tactic back in the
day. You just wanted to fucking kill somebody. Most of the time my teams are losing, so you're watching the other team doing, you're like, oh, this is awful. So it was a very good rule to bring in. Although it became hectic a little bit for a while.
This podcast is like an ocean when a storm's coming, you know. It kind of starts kind of choppy, then it's kind of a calm, and it kind of dies, and choppy again.
You would know, Relic. Hey, the old beachcombing.
I've never seen the beachcombers, but I know that it was a desert island, right?
Dude,
it was
a terrible show. I would be Jesse, who is Relic's competitor.
Oh, yeah? For what?
You know what beachcombing is about? It's about old logs that cost a lot of money.
Speaking of old logs, Nigel,
you don't know what a beach comber is?
Well, no, not really, no.
Well, there you go. He's,
where's the beach comber?
Dan's telling you what a beach comber is. You basically go up and down the shores looking for logs that have come off the boom that they've already been chopped down because they're worth like thousands of dollars.
Why? Why are they worth so much?
It's a fucking tree.
Well, tree, just grow a new one.
Oh, God. It's not like fucking...
See, when you're rich, you don't know anything about nature.
Hey?
When you're rich,
you imagine where they're like.
Oh, we have people that do stuff. You
know, a 300 foot.
They have some Asian guy as a butler.
Yeah.
Jesus, there's no Asian butlers for starters. All right, maybe chefs. All right, we should probably go.
Everybody else has.
Are we going to record on Sunday at all or not?
We'll see.
Depends if these assholes show up or not on this socially distanced backyard. All right. Thanks for listening, both of you. Bye.
You know, I have to take a bit of an exception, James. There are Asian butlers.
They're not nest. They're more of house boys. I remember when little boy Dan Wong came to stay with me for a summer. I put him to work, and I made him the man he is today. I tell you, he took a lot of the man out of me. Well, what a wonderful program, gentlemen. Well, all of the speaking and all the I don't quite understand it all, but I am very, very excited to be here again. It gives me purpose in life, as opposed to waiting on the estate for one of the neighbors to die so I can reclaim their land. As you were, thank you. And as always, another sherry.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.